There aren't many groups that have 14 entries in our Guinness Book of Hit Singles, but the lady that I've got on the phone is a member of one of them. Welcome to the programme, Helen of the 3 Degrees.
Oh, thank you. Hello.
Oh, it's great that you're over here again and packing out these venues.
It's nice to be back. We haven't done this in quite some time, so we're all very excited about it.
I was amazed when I looked in the Guinness Book of Hit Singles, because I used to buy your records, and there are still some that were hits that I don't remember. Terrific legacy you have.
Thank you. I've kind of glanced through it. I was telling someone earlier, I've never really actually looked in the Guinness Book to see what our credentials are, if you will. So
yes.
I realized that I've heard several times that, you know, we're the longest running female trio, but I never paid much attention to it. I just thought, oh, okay, maybe we are, maybe we're not. And we were in San Francisco at the beginning of January, and they had it written above the poster, longest running female trio. And I thought, wow.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Really,
and doing a bit of research for the interview, I noticed somewhere that you were the first female group to have a number one in the UK since the Supremes, when Will I See You Again went to number one.
Now, that I didn't know, Gary.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Supremes had a number one over here after the mid-60s, so that's quite a long time.
Well, that I have to tell the other ladies. I don't know if they know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite an achievement. But looking at your history, I mean, the group, when it started out, was kind of a contemporary of people like the Shangri-Las and the Phil Spector groups, wasn't it, back in the early 60s?
Yes.
Very different then.
We were all in high school, by the way, when we started. So
yeah.
We were quite young, never anticipating that it would be what it is today. It was something different than all of our friends were doing. We all, you know, we liked to sing, so, you know, and during that time you had a lot of groups that came about, or people that came about, that had that kind of street corner harmony, is what they call it.
Yes.
And then just progressed into something else. And so when we got the opportunity, Sheila Ferguson and I got the opportunity to audition for the 3 Degrees at the same time. And I became a 3 Degree, and she became a solo singer on the same label. But we used to do work for each other. She would do backgrounds for us, and we would do backgrounds for her. And thus, when I left the group, she was the most obvious person to step in there, because she knew everything.
Mm, yes, yeah. And I noticed that Richard Barrett, your manager back in the 60s, he used to handle some of the doo-wop groups, didn't he? Like the Chantels and people
the
like
Chantels,
that?
The Chantels, the Little Anthony and the Imperials. He discovered Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. And he used to sing with a group called the Valentines himself.
Oh, right. Was that a reflection on the sort of music you were doing at that time? Was
Absolutely. We did do some remakes of some of the Chantel songs. For instance, Maybe, which was a hit for us, actually, in the States, and it kind of filtered over a little bit when we became a little bit popular here. You know, their people, you know, did their research, and it's become a favorite of some of our fans. And we did some standards that, but 3 Degree style, if you will, like, you know, Look in My Eyes or Close Your Eyes. So we had some mediocre, you know, kind of moderate kind of hits during that time in the 60s. It wasn't until, you know, the latter part of the 60s and the early 70s when we got involved with the Roulette Records and also the Philadelphia International label.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you moved to Philadelphia with Kenny Gamble,
right,
it was a bit like going home, wasn't it? Because you'd worked with him before.
Well, Kenny and Leon, to be exact, when we first started out, they were, you know, both around us, and Leon would play piano for us during our rehearsals you know, trying to help us put our show together musically, etc. And Kenny was a songwriter at that time. Both had written songs prior to our signing to their record label. So it was kind of like a natural thing that evolved from that.
Yeah. And fantastic hits in the 1970s. And then, of course, in the 80s with Giorgio Moroder, a wonderful selection of songs. My Simple Game, A Woman in Love.
Right.
I mean, these are the sort of things that will bring audiences to their feet, I would imagine.
Well, there are songs that it's difficult with so many artists to try to get into the top 10 or even the top one spot, number one spot. There's only one number one spot.
Yeah.
And if you're blessed to get there once in your lifetime, it is definitely a blessing. And we've been there a little more than once. And so it has to do with the material, and it has to do with the producer. It's like a collaborative effort, if you will, on everyone's part. And we have absolutely been blessed to have worked with some of the greatest producers, i.e. Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff, i.e. Giorgio Moroder, Harold Faltermeyer, and the writers that the songs that we were selected to do. They're kind of like timeless. You still hear them over and over again.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something that we're proud of.
And I can't ignore the fact that you got a royal seal of approval from Prince Charles back in the 80s.
That was probably one of the greatest times and quite a highlight in our career.
Yeah, I mean, being invited, was it to the wedding reception to Charles and Diana?
Yes, but prior to that, we were invited to perform in Buckingham Palace at Prince Charles's 30th birthday party, and we did. And then we were invited to come into the party after the performance. And then we've done a lot of charity performances, not only for Prince Charles, but other members of the royal family as well. And then invited to the wedding reception of Princess Diana and Prince Charles.
Wonderful. And I would imagine, Helen, of all the performances you've done on stage, that one at Buckingham Palace must have been the most nerve-wracking just before you went on stage.
Well, it was. It was kind of like, I don't know, really surreal for me. We were walking around saying, are we really, really here? And mm. actual fact, there was a stage that was built for us to perform, and I just thought, wow, we are just, I mean, during that time, you couldn't just go into Buckingham Palace, you had to be invited.
Yeah.
Now you can go into certain areas that you can tour, you know.
Yeah.
But then, you couldn't do that. You had to be invited, and we were, and the fact that we were was just amazing. And then, to be invited to the wedding reception as guests, not as performers,
mm.
we were one of, I think, just very few Americans invited to that, to the wedding reception. So
yeah.
that was definitely an honor. And I still have the invitations to both.
I bet you do. I think I'd hang on to them if I were you.
Oh, I do. And it's, you know, when I read it, I'm like, you know, sometimes I look at it and I read it and I was like, oh, wow, I was really there.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing, amazing stuff. Just bringing us up to date then, so you've got this really long, well, fairly long tour of the UK going on in February.
Right.
And then you're off to mainland Europe for a few dates in Belgium, Norway, Netherlands. And then July, it's off to Japan. You're big over in Japan as well,
I take it. Yes, we are. We usually go to Japan at least 3 times a year. We usually go, normally we go around February, but we opted not to do when we were asked about performing and putting a tour together for Great Britain and United Kingdom. Then we decided that we would do this because we hadn't been here in so long.
Yeah.
So normally we go to Japan in February, we go again in the summer, and then again around in November. So we are popular there, but you know, this has been a place that has warmed our hearts for many years, and you know, you kind of took us under your wing and made us a part of your families, and so when we got the opportunity, we just took it.
Excellent, and certainly I'm sure you will go down a storm. And I can't ignore, although this show doesn't reach this place, the Floral Pavilion in New Brighton, because that's one of the venues where the Beatles started out.
Really?
Yeah, they used to do tours at the Floral Pavilion, New Brighton, with all Billy J. Kramer and people like that, all in the early days. So you're in good company up there.
Well, we are going to be there, so please, everybody, come out and see us.
Yeah, it's wonderful to talk to you, Helen. Thanks very much for your
time. Thank you.